Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio from Boise, Idaho. This is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and check us out on Instagram, instagram.com/greatdetectives. If you're enjoying the podcast, please follow us using your favorite podcast software. If you've not already, I do encourage you to check out my ebooks, All I Needed to Know I Learned from Columbo, and All I Needed to Know I Learned from Dragnet. Each of these examines the careers and histories of seven great fictional detectives and policemen, as well as life lessons that can be learned from them. They are available as audiobooks through the Apple and Audible stores, and they are also available as ebooks wherever fine ebooks are sold. But now let's get into this week's episode of Mr. Chameleon. The original air date, June 15th, 1949, and the title is The Roof Garden Murder Case.
Next, Mr. Chameleon and the Roof Garden Murder Case. Tonight, we again present the famous Mr. Chameleon of Central Headquarters in his most famous cases of crime and murder, brought to you by the makers of genuine Bayer aspirin. Mr. Chameleon, as you all know, is the famous and dreaded detective of Central Police Headquarters who frequently uses a disguise or impersonation to confuse the criminals he is tracking down. In tonight's case, he appears in a particularly interesting disguise, which the audience will at all times recognize. Tonight, we give you Mr. Chameleon in The Roof Garden Murder Case. High above the rooftops of the city is the beautiful moonlight roof garden of the Regent Court Hotel. And tonight it is particularly gay, the scene of a festive party, for Tom Hamilton and Effie Lake are being married in a few days, and Tom's parents are giving this party for the young people. But on a balcony of the roof garden, one young woman seems far from gay, and we hear Bess McCarthy saying angrily,
"Don't look at me as if I was the scum of the earth. I've got as much right to be here as anyone else. More. Believe me, I can make things very unpleasant, and I'm going to. Unless I get what I want, I'll smash everything. Wait a minute. Don't get too close to me now. And don't look at me like that. Keep away. Don't touch me. We're 18 stories above the street. Don't push me. No. No. Help!
And a short time later, in the office of the Commissioner of Police, we see the astute and dreaded detective, Mr. Chameleon, and he is saying,
"What's up, Commissioner?"
"I want you to look at the body of a girl that was just brought in, Chameleon."
"All right, let's go. What happened to her? Murdered?"
"I'll tell you on our way downstairs." "Sure.
Well, what happened to her, Commissioner? How was she killed?"
"She went down 18 stories from the roof of the Regent Court Moonlight Roof. Question is, did she jump, fall, or..."
"Or was she pushed over? Is that it, Commissioner?"
"Here we are now, Chameleon. Mm-hmm. Have a look at her and then tell me if you think what I think. Here's the body."
"Horrible sight, Commissioner. Horrible. Red hair, emerald green evening gown. Oh, I see why you're suspicious, Commissioner. Battered as her body is, it's evident this poor girl put up a struggle before she went over the side. Well, I'll say now she was murdered."
"I've sent Detective Sergeant Dave Arnold to the Regent Court with orders to hold the people who had rented the roof garden tonight for a private party. People named Hamilton, their guests, until you get out there, Chameleon."
"I'll go out there right away, Commissioner. See you later. Bye."
"Good
Good evening, Mr. Chameleon. Glad to see you here.
Good evening, Detective Sergeant Arnold. Commissioner said you were holding all the people who were here at the time of the murder. Anybody leave?
No, sir, not a soul. They're all here in the room just off this lounge.
Good. Let's go in then. I'm Chameleon of Central Police Headquarters. Which one of you is Mr. Hamilton?
I am Mr. Chameleon, Arnold Hamilton, and this is my wife.
How do you do?
How do you do? The first question I have is, what is the name of the girl who met her death here tonight by going off the roof?
That's the strange part of it, Mr. Chameleon.
Strange, Mrs. Hamilton?
None of us, that is my husband and my son and myself, know who the girl was.
You do not know?
That's right, Mr. Chameleon. We have no idea who she was.
Yes, Mr. Chameleon, that's it. Several times tonight, my wife and I noticed a girl whom we knew we hadn't invited to our party.
And we wondered how she'd gotten in. The next thing we heard, that dreadful scream as she jumped off the roof.
She evidently got in here past the waiter at the door, deliberately to get to the roof's edge and commit suicide.
She did not commit suicide. She was murdered.
What?
Somebody threw her off the roof, to the pavement, 18 stories below. That is what happened. Murder. Cold. Terrible.
Murdered?
Murdered? No, you can't be right, Mr. Chameleon.
The police have definite evidence she was murdered, Mrs. Hamilton. There's no question of it. Now, Mr. Hamilton...
Oh, but this is all incredible, Mr. Chameleon.
Murder often is at the beginning, Mr. Hamilton, but rarely at the end. Tell me, did any of your guests bring the murdered girl here tonight?
Nobody saw her come in. How she got here, nobody knows.
I'm sure that somebody brought her. Or someone of your guests knows her, Mrs. Hamilton, and I am equally sure that...
I may interrupt, Mr. Chameleon.
Effie, dear, I'd not get into this if I were you. I'm sure you didn't know that girl. Well, Mr. Chameleon, this is Effie Lake, my son Tom's fiancée.
You're the coal mine heiress, Effie Lake. I thought I recognized you from your pictures.
Yes, Mr. Chameleon. And the party tonight was given by my future father and mother-in-law, Mr. and Mrs. Hamilton, for Tom and me. We're to be married next Saturday.
And you were about to say, Miss Effie, that you knew the girl who was killed here tonight.
No, Mr. Chameleon, I didn't know her. I'd never seen her in my life.
Tell me what you were about to say when Mr. Hamilton stopped you, Effie. What was it?
I was going to say that I saw that girl come in with Tony Muir. And Tom saw him too, Mr. Chameleon. We both wondered who she was and why Tony should be bringing a strange girl when his wife no more than left for Europe. I couldn't understand.
Where is this Tony Muir? Is he here now?
That's Tony over there with the dark hair. He's with Tom at that table in the corner.
Oh, I go over and talk to him.
I'll take you over to them, Mr. Chameleon.
No, Effie, I'll introduce Mr. Chameleon.
Thank you, Mr. Hamilton. I shall go alone. Policemen do not require introductions, you know. Detective Sergeant Arnold?
Here I am, Mr. Chameleon.
Dave, I've scribbled off this note to the commissioner. Send one of the boys to headquarters with it right away.
You got a lead, Mr. Chameleon?
No, Dave, it's just a hunch. There's a bit of information I think the commissioner can get for me. Hurry along and come back here. I'll be talking to Tony Muir and Tom Hamilton in the meanwhile. Sorry to cut in on your conversation, gentlemen, but which one of you is Tony Muir and which is Tom Hamilton?
I'm Tom Hamilton, Mr. Chameleon.
And I'm Tony Muir. And I can tell you straight off that neither Tom nor I can tell you anything about this affair tonight.
That is surprising.
What's surprising?
I'm surprised that such a personable young lady as Effie Lake can be such a brazen liar. That's all, Tony.
What do you mean, Chameleon? My fiancée Effie, a brazen liar. Let me tell you something.
Never mind, Tom. I'll tell you. You too, Tony. Effie Lake told me that you, Tony Muir, brought that murdered girl to the party tonight.
Effie said that?
And she also said, Tony, that she and Tom Hamilton saw you bring the girl here and talk to each other about it.
Look here, Tom, what are you and Effie trying to do? Put me on a spot?
Keep your shirt on, Tony. Effie and I are not... We're not...
Let's drop the point of who is trying to do what to whom, Tom. Both you and Tony lied. Now I intend to get down to brass tacks. I want the story, Tony. The truth from you. And Tom Hamilton, I'll ask you to leave Tony and me alone.
Oh, listen, Mr. Chameleon, let me stay. Tony is to stand up for me at my wedding. I want to stand by him now.
That's all, Tom. You and Tony have lied to me together. Now I'm going to give you the chance to tell me the truth separately.
But I
come along, Tony. Let's step into the next room.
All right, Mr. Chameleon.
Tony Muir... There is no use denying that you knew the murdered girl. Effie Lake says you brought her to the party.
Mr. Chameleon, you don't think she'd have gotten in otherwise? Effie with her puritanical ideas.
Do you mean that Effie is straight-laced? It's odd in the year 1949.
She's like a page out of a Victorian love story, if you ask me. She and Bess were worlds apart.
So the dead girl's name was Bess. Bess what?
Bess McCarthy.
And what was she to you? Answer me, Tony.
Nothing. She was nothing, the scum of the earth.
Yet you brought her here with you. Why'd you do that?
She made me bring her.
How could she make you, Tony? Incidentally, I understand that your wife sailed for Europe day before yesterday.
Yes? What about it?
Less than a week before your best friend's wedding.
Yes?
In other words, your wife left you because of this girl who has just been murdered.
Mr. Chameleon,
Tony Muir, I want the truth from you. Now, your wife left you because of this Bess McCarthy. Do you want me to put through a call to your wife on shipboard?
No, please leave her out of it. I love her.
But this Bess McCarthy had something on you.
Yes, she did. She scraped up an acquaintance with me at a nightclub. I'd had too much to drink. It was just one of those things. She got me in a spot where she was able to blackmail me. My wife found out about it.
You must have hated this Bess McCarthy.
Yes, I did. I mean...
You mean you hated her enough to kill her?
No, I... And Mr. Chameleon, there's another angle, too. Bess insisted on coming here to the party tonight. She insisted. I tried to get her out of it. I told her I wouldn't bring her. But this morning, she suddenly turned up at my apartment, and she said to me...
Tony, I won't take no for an answer. You're taking me to the Hamilton party tonight.
Now listen, Bess, be reasonable. Tom Hamilton's my friend, and so's Effie Lake.
What sort of a crack is that? You think I'm not good enough to go. You've always treated me like dirt.
But you'd only be bored. Believe me, Bess, why do you want to go?
Curiosity. I'm just a little country girl from Clarksville, Idaho. This should be quite a party. And I've got good reasons for wanting to be there.
What reasons?
You'll find out. And you're taking me, Tony, or I really will bust up things between you and your wife.
So you see, Mr. Chameleon, Bess McCarthy had some reason for wanting to come. Some reason which had nothing to do with me.
What could that reason be, Tony?
I have no idea, but it had nothing to do with me.
You're frightened, aren't you? You're getting panic-stricken because you had a motive for killing that girl.
Listen to me, Mr. Chameleon. I shouldn't say this, but I saw Bess on the balcony before she was thrown over. And I think Tom was with her.
Tom Hamilton?
Yes. And just before that, there was a woman with Bess. A woman in a white dress. Oh, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking I'm a rat trying to save my own skin by involving Tom. Mr. Chameleon, I'm telling the truth. And you wanted the truth from me, didn't you?
What a rotten thing for Tony Muir to do, Mr. Chameleon, to point the finger at Tom Hamilton when Hamilton protected him.
Well, the instinct of self-preservation is strong in all of us, Dave. Effie Lake is wearing a white dress, isn't she?
Hmm? Well, yeah, I guess she is.
Mm-hmm. I want to try something. Show them all in here, please. The Hamiltons, Effie Lake, and Tony Muir. Then send a wire to the sheriff at Clarksville, Idaho. Tell him that I want information on a girl named Bess McCarthy.
Okay, Mr. Chameleon. I'll send the others right in.
A white dress, And a high railing. And a reason for coming here. Put them all together, and what do they add up to? What do they add up to?
Did you want us, Mr. Chameleon?
Yes, Mr. Hamilton, Mrs. Hamilton, Effie, and Tom and Tony. Well, you're all here, aren't you?
We are. What do you want with us?
Mrs. Hamilton, I have a very unpleasant thing to ask of all of you. But I have a reason for asking it. I want you to come to the morgue with me and look at the dead girl's body.
What for?
Because, Mrs. Hamilton, I have a feeling that she may have been improperly identified.
What? I...
Are you, any of you, afraid to look at the murdered girl?
No.
Certainly not. It's dreadful, but I'll do it. If you think it will help, Mr. Chameleon.
Then let's go.
No, wait. I refuse. I refuse to go.
Effie, you...
Sweetheart,
Tom,
I think...
won't look at that girl. I didn't know that it was possible to hate someone so much that you could kill them. I know it now. But I refuse to look at it.
Effie, this puts you in a very bad light.
I don't care, Mr. Chameleon. Even if you think it means that I killed her. I can't look at that girl's broken body.
Mr. Chameleon and the Roof Garden murder case continues in just a moment. When you have an ordinary headache, fast relief is important, but even more important is gentle, dependable relief. And that's why it will pay you to always use genuine Bayer aspirin. For Bayer aspirin is one thing you can take with complete confidence. No other pain reliever can match Bayer aspirin's record of use by millions of normal people without ill effect. Yes, for the two most important kinds of relief, always use genuine Bayer aspirin. Because it's actually ready to go to work in 2 seconds, it will bring you the fast relief you want. And because it's reliable, you can take it sure in the knowledge that it will bring you the gentle relief that's important to your health. So whenever you are in pain, don't experiment with drugs that have not stood the test of time. Instead, use something that millions know from experience is completely dependable, genuine Bayer aspirin. And when you buy, ask for it by its full name, Bayer aspirin, not just for aspirin alone. Get the 100-tablet bottle and you get Bayer aspirin tablets for less than a penny apiece. And now, back to Mr. Chameleon and the Roof Garden murder case. During a gay party to celebrate the approaching marriage of Effie Lake and Tom Hamilton, Bess McCarthy was hurled 18 stories to her death from the roof garden of the Regent Court Hotel. And now, in the morgue, we find Mr. Chameleon, the famous detective, surveying the girl's shrouded and broken body as Tom Hamilton, his mother and father, and Tony Muir enter.
Here we are, Mr. Chameleon.
Oh, thank you for coming down, Mr. Hamilton. I appreciate how difficult this is for you and your wife.
If a thing has to be done, it has to be done, Mr. Chameleon.
I agree, Mrs. Hamilton, but some of us don't have the nerve to be able to see things through. Tom, Tony Muir, I want you to look at this girl's body. Tell me if this is really the girl who was known as Bess McCarthy.
But who else could it be?
Well, I'm quite sure that it's Bess McCarthy, Tony, but I need positive identification. I'll just pull back the sheet that covers her body.
Mr. Chameleon.
Yes, Tom?
I don't see why this is necessary. I, for one... No. I can't. I can't look at her body.
Tom, darling. Mr. Chameleon, my son has fainted.
Yes, Mrs. Hamilton, your son has fainted. He didn't have quite the nerve to go through with it.
And now, later in Mr. Chameleon's office at Central Headquarters, Mr. Chameleon is talking with the Commissioner of Police, who is saying...
Well, Chameleon, I've got three of our best men trying to get the information you asked for. And any minute a long-distance call will come in from the Sheriff of Clarksville, Idaho.
Good, Commissioner. So far, I'm going strictly on hunch and a vague suspicion. Wish that call would come in, though. What is the delay?
Well, the Sheriff's wire said he was gathering all the information on Bess McCarthy he could get, and he'd ring us at 10:30. It's almost that now. In the meanwhile, I wish you'd tell me why you pulled all those people into the morgue to view that girl's body. What's the idea?
Well, it was a trick on my part. I wanted to see who could take it and who couldn't. Two of them fell by the wayside, Commissioner. Effie Lake and Tom Hamilton. Neither one could look at the girl's body.
But, Chameleon, it seems impossible that Tom Hamilton and Effie Lake...
I know. Two nice youngsters, good families. Effie Lake in particular seems quite puritanical. In fact, I consider that a definite clue.
A definite clue?
Yes, Commissioner. I have a theory about this killing, and if I am right, I...
Mr. Chameleon.
Yes?
A phone call about the murdered girl, Bess McCarthy, is just coming in from the Sheriff of Clarksville, Idaho.
Good, Dave. Put him on. Hello? This is Chameleon.
Glad to meet you, Mr. Chameleon. This is Sheriff Brady, Clarksville, Idaho. Can you hear me?
Clear as a bell, Sheriff Brady. Did you get anything on Bess McCarthy?
I'd never expected her to get killed in a fancy New York murder.
What is her background, Sheriff?
6 years ago, the girl, Bess McCarthy, worked in a short order restaurant run by a guy named Big Joe Edwards.
Gotcha, Sheriff.
She kept out passing out the hash until some young fella from the east come through town in a big Cadillac car.
I'm following, Sheriff.
He had a smash outside town and had to lay up here for a week for repairs. Got to going into the hash house and went sweet on the McCarthy gal.
Wonderful. Keep going, Sheriff. I've got an idea. They,
if you've got the idea, they got hitched. You're right, Mr. Chameleon. At least they breezed off together saying they were getting married someplace between here and Sioux Falls.
What was the boy's name, the boy she married?
Well, that's where you got me, Mr. Chameleon. I don't know and I can't find out.
You can't find out?
The hotel where the young man stayed burned down to the ground.
The hotel register burned with it?
Right. And so did Big Joe's restaurant, where Bess McCarthy worked, and it was next door.
Where is Big Joe Edwards now, Sheriff? I'd like to talk to him.
Well, that's where I'm caught again. Big Joe got himself killed off in a fight about a month ago.
Oh, that puts me behind the eight ball, all right.
Maybe yes and maybe no, Mr. Chameleon.
Well, what do you mean?
I mean that Big Joe told me something over a week before he got himself killed, that he'd been up in Sioux Falls and had seen Bess McCarthy up there.
Yes, yes.
Well, Big Joe said she'd told him she'd been chucked out by the fellow she married, that she found herself on the receiving end of a Mexican divorce that she just found out wouldn't stick.
And that she was coming to New York for payoff, isn't that it, Sheriff?
Sure was, Mr. Chameleon. Say, you were pretty slick, all right.
Well, thank you, Sheriff. Now, tell me this. Did Bess McCarthy have any family?
No family anybody in this town knows about.
Sheriff Brady, you've given me the answer, I hope, to a particularly horrible murder. And the motive as well. Thanks a lot, old man. Goodbye.
I heard most of that, Chameleon. Well, what do you think?
The young man the murdered girl married, Commissioner, could have been Tony Muir, could have been Tom Hamilton.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Tom and Effie are going through with their wedding on schedule. The wedding rehearsal with Tony Muir as best man is taking place tomorrow afternoon.
Well?
Suppose Big Joe Edwards' brother showed up at that rehearsal. A voice from the past from Clarksville, Idaho. It might bring interesting results if I went to the rehearsal disguised as Big Joe's brother, Hank. Though he probably never had a brother.
And so, the next day, we find Mr. Chameleon in his disguise as a hearty Westerner named Hank Edwards. And we follow him as he comes in on the rehearsal for Tom and Effie's wedding party. And Chameleon speaks in the voice of Hank Edwards.
Well, it's quite a place. Fanciest one I ever seen. We don't grow them this fancy out in Clarksville, Idaho.
I beg your pardon. Who are you and what are you doing here?
The name is Edwards. Hank Edwards from Clarksville, Idaho. What's yours?
Arnold Hamilton, but I don't understand this intrusion. You're interrupting my son's wedding rehearsal.
I know.
What's the matter, Mr. Hamilton?
Well, I don't quite know, Effie. This intruder here...
Intruder, me? Now, wait a minute, partner. I am here because I read about Bessie McCarthy's murder. And I understand that you folks are all mixed up in it.
Bess McCarthy? Do you know her?
Did I know her? My brother, Big Joe, ran the joint where she worked as a waitress. Cute little trick. Run off with some college boy.
Mr. Edwards, I still don't understand the intrusion.
I am offering you my help, Mr. Hamilton. That's all. If we work together, maybe we can find Bessie's killer.
Mr. Hamilton, please make this man go away. I want to forget Bess McCarthy. I want to forget her.
Of course, Effie, my dear. I'll ask you to leave, Mr. Edwards.
But leave
immediately or I'll call the police.
All right. That's the way you feel about it, Mr. Hamilton? Goodbye. Sorry I tried to act neighborly. Guess I ain't good enough for such high-toned folks. It won't stop me from finding poor Bessie's murderer. No, sir. If I have to do it single-handed, I'll find the killer. And I got a pretty good idea who it is.
Mr. Edwards?
Yep?
My name is Tony Muir. I was instructed to give you this note.
Oh, you were, huh? Who wrote it? You, Mr. Muir?
I was simply told to give it to you.
All right. See what it says. Be at the corner of Allen Place and the East River at 11 tonight. Important. All right, Mr. Muir. Tell yourself, or whoever wrote this note, that Hank Edwards will be there tonight with bells on.
And that night, promptly at 11 o'clock, Mr. Chameleon, no longer in disguise, with Detective Sergeant Dave Arnold, is at the appointed spot, waiting in the darkness at the corner of Allen Place and the river. And Mr. Chameleon is saying...
They won't be long now, Dave. The killer will be along with a bribe or a gun or both.
Well, they picked a nice lonely spot. They must have known it was here.
Yeah. Here comes a car.
He's driving, Mr. Chameleon. Tom Hamilton's driving.
Mm-hmm. And here he comes. Keep him covered, Dave. Good evening, Tom Hamilton. You're looking for me?
Mr. Chameleon.
Or should I ask you if you're looking for Hank Edwards, who doesn't really exist except in me?
You mean that you were disguised as Hank Edwards, Big Joe's brother?
Big Joe has no brother, and Big Joe himself is dead. You had nothing to fear from them, but you lost your head, Tom. By coming here tonight, you have admitted you not only knew, but probably murdered Bess McCarthy.
Mr. Chameleon, you don't understand.
Oh, yes, I do. I understand that you're the boy that Bess McCarthy ran off with 6 years ago. You married her, Tom. She was once your wife. That's why you couldn't bear to look at her dead body.
All right, I married her. It was a crazy infatuation.
And you knew almost immediately the marriage was wrong. Your father bought her off. He paid for a divorce in Mexico.
Mr. Chameleon,
that marriage and that divorce were kept a secret, Tom. Particularly from your fiancée, Effie Lake, with her straight-laced ideas. But Bess McCarthy wouldn't stay bought off. When she heard that you were to be married again, she appeared on the scene and threatened to go to Effie. She blackmailed you for money.
No, I tell
Stop
you...
Stop saying no. We've investigated your father's financial affairs. They're in very bad shape, Tom. He couldn't afford to pay Bess off again. But Effie Lake is an enormously rich girl. Your marriage to Effie would have saved your father from financial ruin.
That's not why I'm marrying her. I love Effie.
And she loves you. That's why she went to pieces. Her instinct tells her that you are the murderer.
But I'm not.
Tell that to a jury. It's a pity I liked you, but I'm a cop first, Tom. And I arrest you for the murder
no.
of...
No! Stop it. I can't stand it any longer. You can't arrest my son. He isn't guilty.
Mother, Dad, where did you come from?
We followed you in our car.
Get back into your car, please.
No, son, your mother's right. This we can't take. Mr. Chameleon, you're arresting the wrong man. I'm guilty of the murder of Bess McCarthy.
And so am I, Mr. Chameleon. My husband and I did it together.
I thought so, Mrs. Hamilton. I knew almost immediately it would have taken two people to push the girl over that high railing of the roof garden. I noticed, too, that you, as well as Effie, wore a white dress. It was you and your husband, Tony Muir, saw on the balcony the night of the murder.
Oh, Mother, Dad, you should have kept quiet.
How could we, Tom? How could we when you were accused?
Mrs. Hamilton, you and your husband were cool customers. You didn't bat an eyelash when I was going to show you Bess's body. I felt I didn't have a chance to get you to confess unless you loved your own son enough to save him from paying the price of a crime that you committed. Well, you did. But that still does not change the fact that you must pay for the murder of Bess McCarthy.
And with these words, Mr. Chameleon concludes tonight's murder case. Here's how to relieve a common early morning headache quickly. Instantly you get up, take 2 Bayer aspirin tablets with water, and chances are, by the time you finish dressing, your headache is gone. Bayer aspirin tablets work quickly because they start to disintegrate within 2 seconds after you take them. You can see this amazing 2-second disintegrating action with your own eyes by dropping a Bayer aspirin tablet in a glass of water. What it does in the water, it does in your stomach. And because it's ready to go to work almost at once, you get really fast relief. In addition, you get dependable relief. Of all pain relievers, none can match Bayer aspirin's record of use by millions of normal people without ill effect. So be sure to buy Bayer aspirin. Get the 100-tablet bottle and you get Bayer aspirin tablets for less than a penny apiece. Listen next Wednesday night at this same time for Mr. Chameleon, the man of many faces, in The Bizarre Motive Murder Case. Mr. Chameleon is played by Carl Swenson and written by Marie Baumer and Frank Hummert from the original story by Frank and Ann Hummert. Music directed by Victor Arden. Your announcer is Howard Claney.
You probably have heard or read about the remarkable discovery that actually cuts down tooth decay. ammoniated tooth powder. Today, Dr. Lyons, America's favorite tooth powder, is available in this ammoniated form. Based on a formula developed by University of Illinois scientists, it destroys bacteria Lactobacillus acidophilus, which cause cavities. Thus, it not only cuts down tooth decay, but pain, worry, and expense as well. So, to reduce tooth decay, to have sounder, healthier, handsomer teeth, use ammoniated Dr. Lyons tooth powder. Both regular Dr. Lyons tooth powder and new ammoniated Dr. Lyons are at all drug and toilet goods counters.
Listen for Mr. Chameleon in The Bizarre Motive Murder Case next Wednesday night at this time. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Welcome back. Just an FYI, if two people are pushing you over the edge of the balcony at the top of a high building, it's not because they're unaware of how high up they are. So I really don't think mentioning you're on the 18th floor is going to persuade them at all. One thing that might work, you know, if you're on the 18th floor, say you're on the 13th floor. This will confuse them. This might confuse them, particularly if they're superstitious. Wait, hold on, darling. Didn't we rent this on the 18th floor? I'm a little bit nervous. I think it might be bad luck to push her off the 13th floor balcony. 18th floor balcony, that's I'm totally fine with that. But 13th floor, it's just too much of a risk. I mean, you never know in that situation, but if you're on the 18th floor and saying it's the 18th floor, you're not telling them anything that's going to confuse them, and certainly not anything that's going to enlighten them. So I wouldn't expect Idaho to come up on Mr. Chameleon, but here we are. And if you were wondering, is Clarksville a real place? And it actually is. It's a real unincorporated community. It's named after the millionaire F. Lewis Clark, who built his massive home there called Clark House in 1910, with 29 rooms, 7 bathrooms, and 9 fireplaces. He disappeared mysteriously in Santa Barbara in 1914 and is believed to have committed suicide, although the body was never located. And it's been turned into a hotel. You can actually stay up there if you're in northern Idaho. Prices start at $149 a night, but maybe more once you get into the tourist seasons. Of course, Clarksville being a real place makes the story have some silliness in an entirely different way than usual, because Clarksville doesn't have a sheriff. In fact, in the 1960 census, there were only 44 people living there. Although the Kootenai County Sheriff in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, could certainly help Mr. Chameleon out. It's what happens when you try to make up a fictitious location, but don't do enough research to make sure it's fictitious. Of course, that's taught by having Tom and the woman leaving town to get married somewhere between there and Sioux Falls. And the way the sheriff says that, it sounds like, you know, Sioux Falls, it's you know, right around here. Sioux Falls is in South Dakota. There is no part of the Dakotas that borders Idaho. You kind of have Montana and Wyoming being a significant barrier between my state and the Dakotas. From the actual location of Clarksville, Sioux Falls is 1,200 miles away. Now, of course, there are parts of the state that are a little bit closer to South Dakota. If you were starting from southeastern Idaho, it wouldn't be quite that far, but it still wouldn't be the next town over or somewhere you'd be like, okay, let's just drive a little ways in this direction and we'll find somewhere to get married. I think these writers and a lot of people who lived in New York in the 1940s were just like, it's all west, South Dakota, Idaho, same thing. And I think that people from that area just didn't get the scale of things out here. Because out in the Mountain West, and honestly, I'd say Sioux Falls is more Midwest, if you want to travel from some relatively highly populated area to another, you have to drive through massive amounts of rural and unpopulated areas. For example, Clarksville is in the same state as me, but for me to drive to Clarksville would be the same distance essentially as someone driving from New York City to Bangor, Maine. There are some other things I could poke fun at, but it's mostly the same stuff as usual, and I like mixing it up a bit with a little bit of a geography rant. Well, now we turn to listener comments and feedback, and we start out on the Good Pods app, and we got a great five-star review from Alexis of The Case of the Murdered Gold Digger. Mr. Chameleon has a specific tactic. Spend the first half accusing people of murder, then go undercover to discover who actually did it. Works every time. Very true, Alexis. Thanks so much. Appreciate the review. And then we go to YouTube where Saysoff comments regarding murder in the House of Torture. Well, I agree that this episode had Mr. Chameleon in one of his more clever disguises, but it's a shame that using this disguise instead of getting a search warrant will likely get the case against these hoodlums thrown out of court. Really, this is yet another instance where using a disguise would be completely unnecessary if he were simply to follow proper police procedures. Well, thanks so much. Appreciate the comment, Saysoff. It's an interesting question as to the legalities of the search, because he was allowed into the area but disguised as someone else and not given explicit permission. Now, of course, it should be said that the state of Fourth Amendment law in 1949 is not what it is today, and police officers could get away with things that courts would not tolerate at all today. And I don't know whether this would present a genuine issue, particularly now that we have confirmed that courts in some form do exist in the Mr. Chameleon universe. But thanks so much. Appreciate the comment, Saysoff. And Debbie writes regarding the same episode, "This is so corny, I couldn't stop giggling." And then we had a comment from Melanie regarding the Ellery Queen episode, "The Adventure of the Income Tax Robbery. A new Ellery Queen is so exciting. Thanks so much." Well, I appreciate the comment, Melanie. And I was really delighted to find more Ellery Queen, even if it slightly messed up the recording session I had planned. But for two additional episodes of Ellery Queen, it's just exciting because Ellery Queen is such a big name in mysteries, such an institution that it's a shame that we don't have more. Even with what we've played, we only have 19 episodes of that series, plus we have the Ford Theater recreation, and then we have an Australian episode. But I would always love to have more of these Ellery Queen adventures. Again, thank you so much. Now it's time to thank our Patreon supporter of the day. And I want to thank Maggie, Patreon supporter since January of 2018, currently supporting the podcast at the Seamus level of $4 or more per month. Thank you so much for your support, Maggie. And that will do it for today. If you're enjoying the podcast, please follow us using your favorite podcast software. And be sure to rate and review the podcast wherever you download it from. We will be back next Thursday with another episode of Mr. Chameleon. Next Tuesday, listen for a previously unplayed episode of The Thin Man. And then join us back here tomorrow for yours truly, Johnny Dollar, where...
Ah, they pulled away. What was it?
Just a auto, big white Buick.
But he tied it in with whoever set the fire.
All he said was, "I knowed he was the one."
Do you know who it was he meant?
Well, he told me even if I didn't know, I should never tell. Even the police.
Well, who do you think it was?
Break my word to Mr. Arnie? Never, son.
All right, look, old man, I'm sorry to have to tell you this. Mr. Arney's dead.
What? But he can be. He was... You.
Huh?
Maybe you thought in the darkness I wouldn't know you. But I do know you.
Now, just a minute, old-timer.
If Mr. Arney's dead, it's because you killed him.
What?
Just like you set the fires.
No, I'm not who you
and
think
I'll
I am.
I'll kill you. That's what I'll do.
Put down that gun.
I'll kill you.
I hope you'll be with us then. In the meantime, send your comments to Box 13 at GreatDetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and check us out on Instagram, instagram.com/greatdetectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.